number 674.
Please turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. Wherefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall each man have his praise from God.
Morning, everybody. Once again, I hope you all are having a great day so far. Thank you all for being here. It's wonderful to have all of you and hope that you come back every chance that you get. We love you being here. We appreciate you being here this morning. And we hope that we see you tonight whenever you can make it. Members as well, we always welcome you and we welcome our visitors. We welcome everybody. Thank you for being here this morning. We're actually going to start a series today that we cannot hide our sins from God Most High. So there's that word, hide. We cannot hide our sins from God Most High. Now what we're going to do is we have multiple story lessons that we're going to go over. The first one being of Adam and Eve, and then the second one being of Jonah, and then the third one being of King David. And then after that, Ananias and Sapphira. And what we're going to do is we're going to do the first maybe two lessons, the first two stories as you think of it. We're going to do those first two this morning, and then tonight we're going to proceed with the third lesson of King David. So I hope that you can make it for that tonight for our evening service, and you can see how David also tried to hide his sins from God, but ultimately he couldn't. But the first thing we're going to talk about is Adam and Eve. But this begins our small expository study. And what we're really doing is we're reading through the text, we're reading through the scriptures that we can look at on these topics that we cannot hide our sins from God Most High. It's recommended to take notes, but if you'd like to listen, take notes in your mind, you can also do that as well. There's no problem with that. But we want to look at these multiple examples of scriptures in the scriptures to show the cases where people try to hide their sins from God so that we know that this never works and that God will always find out our sins. God will always know what we're doing in our lives. God always sees us every hour, every minute of every day. And there's nothing we can do to hide from that. We've been studying Jonah. There was nothing that that guy could do to get away from God. Absolutely nothing. He always was in the eyes of God, and God always was really coming after Jonah, wanting him to do his will. But of course, whenever Jonah tried to run away, of course, God went after him, and he would try to punish him, and then Jonah would repent. We'll get into that later, though. But our subjects will be these this morning and then tonight. Now, Adam and Eve, how did they hide their sins? How did they hide their sins? Let's get into the text. That would be in Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis 3 and verses 1 through 5. We're going to read Genesis 3, 1 through 5 first of all. All the way back in Genesis chapter 3, 1 through 5. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" That is. Verse 2, "And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." Then the serpent, verse 4, said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows," verse 5, "that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So in this occasion where we're talking about Adam and Eve trying to hide their sins from God Most High, we see it first happen. Here's the deceivement. Here's the moment whenever the deceiving takes place, just as it would any of us in our day and time. We might see a billboard, we might turn on our TVs. Deceiving happens, and we see that before our eyes, and we can choose to take part in that sin, or we can choose rather to turn away from it. Well, here's the deceiving to Adam and Eve here. They're deceived literally by the devil here. And of course, they have this choice. Verse 6, let's read it together. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, so she took into it, that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise. Here it is. Here's the action. She took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. So yet, they commit the sin by their own choice, both of them. So they both sinned now. They both committed a transgression against God Most High. They chose this. This was their own decision. The devil didn't force them to do this. Even at the beginning of time, at the beginning of mankind, man chose to sin. It was by their own decision. It wasn't God's fault that this happened. It was literally man's decision to do this. The devil wasn't forcing them either. So after sinning and realizing that they transgressed against God's instructions, I want you to notice what they do. Let's read verse 7. Keep reading there with me. Genesis 3, verse 7. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Continuing on, verse 8. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves, there's that word, from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So he said, verse 10, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." I hid myself. Hide, there's that word. So they realized they sinned. They realized they transgressed against God. Understand that this is not a non-understanding type situation. Adam and Eve knew that they sinned against God at this time, and they're hiding because they sinned. Do we ever try to hide from God because we sin at times? Do we try to do that sometimes, or maybe hide from God to continue in our sins? Have we ever done that? I have. Maybe we've all done that. We try to maybe hide a sin from God. Maybe we come to church services and, you know, we're all goody and goody here, but whenever we go back home, we go back out into the world, we go to Walmart, we go to wherever it may be, we go out and we cuss up a storm, do whatever we want, act like anyone else would. And, you know, we just change completely. Well, that shouldn't be the case. We shouldn't be trying to hide those sins. We shouldn't have those sins at all. So notice what happens here as they hid their sin. Notice what happens after this. Here we have something else happen. Verse 11, read it with me. Genesis 3, verse 11. And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat?" Then the man said, here it is, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate." Here starts the blame game. This is a game of blame. This is a game of, she told me to do it. And then what does the woman say? Verse 12, or verse 13 rather. And the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, we'll get into that in a moment. Well, here we have the blame game. Well, the woman told me to do it. The serpent told me to do it. But really, were they conscious enough and were they able to make the decision not to do it? Obviously, yes. They could have chosen not to do this just as much as they chose to do it. They could have chosen not to take of the fruit of the tree. Why did they? That was their own decision. And they made that mistake here. So it turned into hiding, and then it turned into the blame game. So not only did they try to literally hide from God, but then they tried to hide their sin by blaming somebody else. Have we ever done that before? Maybe tried to pin the blame on somebody else? Pin the blame for maybe a transgression that we did? Maybe we know we're wrong. We're arguing with somebody, and we know we're wrong. But then maybe we try to blame somebody else, or maybe we try to keep blaming it on them rather than the person that we're talking to, we're arguing with, when we know we're wrong. Sometimes we might do that in our lives. Of course, many of us have, probably all of us have. That's nothing new. That's nothing, you know, unique. So everybody does that. But this is the blame game here. So it turns from hiding into the blame game. And of course, let's go to Mark in chapter 4. So keep your marker there in Genesis 3 and turn to Mark. Mark chapter 4 and verse 22. Understand that everything that is sin, everything that tries to hide from God, everything that tries to hide from the light, all types of darkness, it will come to the light eventually. It will be shown in the light. The darkness will always be exposed. Mark 4:22. says there, "For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light." Everything that is secret, everything that is in the closet, everything that is kept away from God, maybe that you try to do that, that's not going to work. Everything will be exposed. Everything will be shown. God will always see everything. All at the same time, always. We read over Psalm 139, my favorite psalm in the whole Bible, in the whole book of Psalms, that is. I love Psalm 139, and the reason is because it talks so much about God being everywhere that we are all the time, seeing everything that we do all the time. His omnipotence, that means His all-powerfulness. He has unlimited power, God does. His omnipresence, He's everywhere at the same time. If you go in the depths of the ocean, guess what? God's there. Remember Jonah? He's in the depths of the ocean, and guess where God was? He was right there with him. If you go up into space, God's there. Why? Because God made all that. Because God's unlimited. God's infinite. We're finite. We have a short life on this earth. We get to decide what we do with it. But God's infinite. And He's given us His will, and we get to decide whether to follow it or not. Adam and Eve here chose not to. They chose to try to hide the sin. They chose to try to hide in the bushes, try to hide away from it. And then they chose the blame game. So we see that. They chose that sin. And then they tried to hide it from God Most High. So that's really what we're talking about here, this hiding of sins. Now, despite hiding, I want you to notice what happens. Let's continue. Genesis 3, so turn back there if you would. Genesis chapter 3. And we're going to continue in verse 14. So this kind of study is what is called an expository type study. Now, it's a larger type expository study. But really what we're doing here is we're taking multiple occasions, multiple events from the Bible, and we're comparing them all to show one point, to show, really talk about one type of particular topic. And that is, trying to hide our sins from God Most High does not work. Genesis 3 and verse 14, read it with me. Here's the punishments now. The hiding didn't work. So the Lord God said to the serpent, here's the serpent first, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle, and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." So the first one is punished here, after trying to hide the sin. The first one is the serpent. Now verse 16, who's the next one? The woman. Next one is punished, even though she tried to hide her sin. "To the woman," he said, verse 16, "I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain ye shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." So the woman just got punished. They tried to hide. Didn't work for either of them. Verse 17, now here's Adam. "Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles," verse 18, "it shall bring forth for you. You shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return." The Garden of Eden was like paradise. It was like paradise. Then sin came into the scene, and it destroyed everything. And that was because of man's choices. Do you realize that that's the same thing in our life today spiritually? If we choose sin, the Garden of Eden, that is our hearts. If we choose sin as Christians, that corrupts our entire spiritual heart and completely. Our soul is ruined. Our spirit is ruined. But there's a way out of that, and that's through Jesus. And we know that, Christians. We know that, friends. Jesus is the only one who can offer you remission of sins. The only one who can wash you clean. Of course, rather than trying to hide your sin, we should rather try to follow Jesus instead. So Adam and Eve here, though, they tried to hide their sin, and they were punished anyways. Made no effect. Had no really intention that they intended. That didn't come to fruition. Verse 20, let's read it together. Verse 20. Verse 20 says, Genesis 3, "And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. Then the Lord God said, "Behold, the man has become like one of us, know good and evil." Pause. This is where another punishment takes place, to know good and evil. Do you understand that man didn't have to worry about sin? They didn't have to worry about darkness. They didn't have to worry about the temptations of Satan. Every single day we're tormented by these temptations everywhere around us, aren't we? We're tormented by it. They didn't have to worry about that in the Garden of Eden before they sinned. Now they have to worry about it. Here's the next punishment that we see. The punishment to know good and evil. Now continuing there, verse 22. "And now, lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken." Now they're kicked out of the Garden of Eden. Verse 24. "So he drove out the man, and he placed cherubim at the east of the garden and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life." So, now they're in the punishment of being in the ever danger, that is the constant temptation of sin. The constant temptation that we face on a daily basis, friends. Every day, we're tormented with sin around us. This world chooses sin. Most people choose sin. And that's because the pleasure of sin, the temporary pleasure that it offers. But sin only leads to death. Understand that. Romans 6:23. It's only temporary. Every time you choose to take part in sin, it doesn't last. But I'll tell you what does last. That's the peace of God that surpasses understanding. Philippians chapter 4. That's the only thing that lasts. We need to understand that, friends. Adam and Eve, they chose to hide their sin here, but also they wouldn't get away with it. Revelation 12:12 says that the devil's mission is to try to take down as many as he can before the end comes. He has great wrath for the sons of man, great wrath for us, trying to tempt us, trying to kill us spiritually. He has great wrath, Revelation 12:12. That's the devil's mission. God's mission is what? John 3:16. We know it. To save the world. That's Jesus' mission. What's the devil's? To destroy the world. That's what the devil did here in the beginning. And man chose to try to hide that, to try to hide making their bed with the devil. And guess what happened? They were still punished. It came to no effect as what they were intending it to be. Hiding never works. That is, with God. Never, ever works. We might try to hide a sin our entire life. You might think of like a serial killer. You might think of somebody who's been in a crime their entire life, and they try to hide that, and maybe they're successful. Maybe they're successful their whole life because I've known about people like that. I've read stories, I've seen TV shows on that stuff, where people go their whole life doing that kind of stuff, and they get away with it. And then 30 years, 100 years later, people find out about it. 400 years later. And they weren't affected by that in their physical life, but where are they sitting in the afterlife? That's the problem. That's the issue, is the afterlife. So you might get away with a sin your whole life, but in the afterlife, what's going to happen to you? Our lives are short, friends. They're very short. We're not promised tomorrow. I'm not promised tomorrow. As sure as I'm standing up here in a suit, I could be in a car wreck tomorrow. And I don't mean to be whatever. I don't mean to be, well, that's a negative thing to say, preacher. It could happen to any of us as we're leaving the church building today. And if you're not ready for the afterlife, you need to be ready. That's a problem. Let's help you with that today. Let's do something about that today. Let's make sure you become a Christian today. So, don't try to hide your sin. Don't continue in it thinking that God will never forgive you. For God forgives all sins. No matter how bad you think they are, every sin can be forgiven and will be forgiven if you ask for forgiveness. If you become a Christian, if you're not already, you can be forgiven, friends. So, don't try to hide that sin. Proverbs chapter 28. Let's turn there. Proverbs chapter 28. And verse 12. Proverbs 28 and verse 12. "When the righteous rejoice, there is great glory. But when the wicked arise, men hide themselves." Verse 13. "He who covers his sins will not prosper. But whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy." So, had they rather confessed, that is Adam and Eve, had they rather confessed their sins, had they rather chosen to not hide, to not play the blame game, this might have gone better for them. Do you realize that? It may very well have gone better for them. There may have still been some curses, may not have been, but we don't know. What we know, friends, is that God ultimately will not punish one who repents. He won't punish them as far as death. He will not kill them. Remember in Jonah, he could have killed Jonah. He could have chose not to deliver Jonah up out of the belly of that whale as we've been talking, or not the whale, the fish, as we've been talking about, whatever that thing was. He could have chosen not to deliver Jonah, but he chose to do that. Why? Because Jonah repented. Because Jonah chose to do righteousness. He chose to do what was right in the sight of God. So God will not destroy people who do that. Remember the Ninevites, the Assyrians? We're about to get into it. Jonah chapter 3. They were a wicked people. A very wicked people. The most brutal wicked people you could ever think of. Remember we mentioned the Nazis this morning in class. Most brutal wicked people of their time. The Assyrians were the same. And yet, those Assyrians still repented. And God did not destroy them. He did not do it, is what we'll learn there in Jonah chapter 3 in our class. So, God will ultimately not punish you if you repent, as far as spiritually. And who knows, maybe some of these curses still could have been applied, all of them, whatever. They still would have been dealing with sin no matter what. But they chose rather to hide, and it really came of no effect. That's the point here. Don't try to hide your sins. It's not going to come to any effect that you want or you intend. Hiding your sins will only get you further, worse, into more consequences, physically, and of course, most of all, spiritually. So now let's talk about Jonah. Jonah, as we've been talking about in our class, was a man who was a prophet of God. He was a man who really knew about God very well whenever he did what he did. As you read the book of Jonah, Jonah was already prophesying for the nation of Judah before that. He was already prophesying for the nation of Israel before that. So for him to go off and do what he did and running from God was a terrible thing to do as a prophet who communicated with God, as we talked about in our class. Was a terrible thing to do. He knew better. He knew better. And sometimes do we know better, Christians, and yet we still choose to sin? Absolutely. We do know better and yet we still choose it. Why? Because the temptation is there. It's a weak night. It's a real weak day. We're not having a good day, and we choose to take part in whatever it is. Has that ever happened to us? Yeah, it's happened to all of us. We get weak some nights, we get weak some days, and then we choose to take part in those sins. So that can happen to all of us. That doesn't mean we're a terrible person. That doesn't mean that we're worse than anybody else. Everyone has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. We need to understand, though, that those things are forgivable. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, just as Paul was forgiven, the apostle, we can be forgiven. Every sin can be forgiven. Also, as the book of 1 John states. So, friends, don't try to hide your sins from God. It's pointless. Now let's turn to Jonah. Jonah. Jonah chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 1 through 2. And we might get into a little bit of that is overlap tonight, this evening. When we come back together and we study these last remaining things also on King David, we might need to also go over some things with Jonah. We might not make it as far as time this morning. Friends, I don't always have enough time to make it in 30, 45 minutes to preach the whole Bible to you. I can't do that. It's not possible. But if you'll give me tonight, we'll go through the remaining things that we have, and we'll get through King David as well. And King David is one who, of course, is one of the greatest examples of somebody who tried to hide their sin. Somebody who went to the greatest lengths to try to hide their sin. Led to people being killed to try to hide their sin. So, people hiding sins is not something that really doesn't happen that much. It happens all the time. People have always tried to hide their sins. So let's not be one of those, friends. Let's, of course, make the right choice first of all. Now, Jonah chapter 1. I talk too much and I don't turn to the place where I'm intending. But Jonah 1, we know that Jonah, that great prophet, he was known as a zealous prophet. He was one who was really known, or really you would think would be taking this mission up, but he chose not to. Let's read there in verses 1 through 2 starting off, where he gets that direct order from God. Jonah 1, 1 through 2. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Here's the choice. Here's the decision moment, as we see so many times in the Scriptures. Here's the decision. Here's the order from God. Do we have orders from God today? Yes, we do. We have an order to follow the New Testament, to follow Christ as He has told us to do. Will we follow Him? That's our choice. Here, what's Jonah's choice here? Verse 3. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare, went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now, we've been talking about these things in class, so I won't go into too much detail. But I will tell you that Tarshish was on the other side of the known world. Tarshish was likely 2,500 miles away from where Jonah already was at this time. So he's trying to get away from God. And when I say getting away from God, he's trying to get away from God entirely. He wants nothing more to do with God if he's trying to go this far. If he's going this far with it. So we might try to do that sometimes. Maybe we're in a Church of Christ. Maybe we choose to no longer obey God. And maybe we choose to go to another country. Maybe we choose to go to another state thinking we can get away from God. We might do that. We might have our own decisions in our life. We might get away with whatever we want in life, do whatever we want. Party it up, do whatever you want. But ultimately, what's going to be the ending effect in the afterlife, that is? Well, that's really the thing that matters. You might get away with everything with man. You might get away with every sin that you want to as far as man seeing it. But man seeing it's not really the problem. I want you to understand this morning that the problem is that God is seeing everything that you're doing. God is seeing everything I'm doing. And you might try to run away from every brother and sister in Christ that you can. You might try to run away from all that. We have fallen brethren here today. We have fallen brethren in the world. You might try to run away from it, run away from God, but you can't. It's not possible. That's the point of this lesson. The spiritual afterlife and the losing of it is the thing that we're talking about whenever you try to hide that sin, whenever you try to get away with it your whole life. Now, let's continue. And actually, in the book of Luke, Luke chapter 12. So put your marker there in Jonah. In Luke chapter 12, verses 2 through 3. Another good New Testament reference for us. Luke 12, 2 through 3. Here's another one of those verses, like our scripture reading this morning. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed. Luke 12, 2. Nor hidden that will not be known. Verse 3. Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light. And what you have spoken in the ear and inner rooms will be proclaimed on the housetops. So there's nothing that we can do once again, as Jesus is saying here. This is Jesus talking. Nothing that we can do that we think that we can get away with. There's just nothing. It will always come to the light. Anything in the dark will always come to the light. God is always watching us. His eye is ever watching us. Now, Ecclesiastes 12:14, we all know it well. God will bring every work into judgment, whether good or evil. We know that from that writer there who went through all the things in life, who went through all the vanities of life, talking about everything from all types of pleasures in life, to marriage, to all types of things, to the physical things that we can have in this life. And there's nothing wrong with those things. There's nothing wrong with any of that. The fact is, though, is that obeying God is more important. Fearing God and keeping His commandments. Remember there in verse 13, Ecclesiastes 12? That's what's more important. Really, everything that we need to center our lives around, that we need to gear our minds to doing, is to obeying God, respecting God, and keeping His commandments that He has for us in this age. And that is, of course, the New Testament. It's laid out for you. It's laid right out for you. All you got to do is follow it. That's all you got to do. This morning, if you're not a Christian, why don't you do that today? I'm not offering the invitation yet. So don't close those Bibles. But this morning, if you're not a Christian, why don't you do that today? Why don't you become a Christian? But Jonah here, of course, back in his day and time, God is seeing his wicked behavior. He's seeing that Jonah is doing this, he's running away from him, and he's not going to let him get away with it. So he tried to hide his sin, as we do. He tried to hide it. It's not going to come to anything he wants, though. That is Jonah. Jonah 1, 4 through 9. Let's read it even more. Jonah 1, 4 through 9. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea. There was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Here's a miraculous storm that comes up. Jonah's not getting away. God's here. Verse 5, then the mariners were afraid. Every man cried out to his God, threw cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship, laid down, was fast asleep. The captain came to him, verse 6, and said to him, what do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish. Verse 7, and they said to one another, come, let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Verse 8, they said to him, please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation? This is Jonah chapter 1, verse 8. And where do you come from? What is your country? And of what people are you? Notice there Jonah's confession in verse 9. So he said to them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. So, he tried to hide from God, but something I want you to notice about Jonah here, a man who knows God, a man, as we talked about in our class, who is a prophet of God, who knows better, this guy, he just says, I know what I did. I'm just going to confess it. So he confesses it right up. As soon as the lot falls on Jonah, everybody's wanting to know, is this your God that's causing this problem, that's causing this storm right now? Jonah says, I'm a Hebrew. He's my God. And really, as we see there in verse 10, read that with me. Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, why have you done this? For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord. Why? Because he told them. Jonah confessed it. He willingly confessed this. He knew better. Jonah knew better. And Christians, what I'm saying to you this morning is that we should as well. We might try to think we can get away with a sin, but we can't. We can't. We might not have a fish come up and swallow us in the ocean, but how will it happen for us spiritually? The fish might come up and swallow us spiritually, and we might not ever be vomited back onto dry land. That's a problem. You might never be delivered. That is if you never repent. So Christians, if you have a sin like that this morning, I plead with you to get it right. I plead with you before God to get that right this morning. Don't let that be in your life anymore. Don't be trying to hide any more sins like that. Because I know that we've all done things like that. All of us. But he knew he wasn't going to get away with God. So let's continue there in verse 11. We'll say a few more things and then we'll continue tonight. As far as a few more things about Jonah and then King David. So verse 11. Then they said to him, what shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us? For the sea was growing more tempestuous. And he said to them, pick me up and throw me into the sea, and the sea will become calm for you, for I know that this great tempest is because of me. There it is again. I want you to stop there. As we talked about in our class again, Jonah's admitting he knows this is his fault. He's admitting it. So we might say all types of bad things about Jonah as a prophet. You know, why would you run away from God like that? But here's the thing, friends. We've all done that too. Every one of us. We've all tried to run away from God. Maybe it's on becoming a Christian. We might never think we need to be baptized. We might never think, I want to be baptized today. Well, when are you going to do it? When are you going to be baptized? When are you going to become a Christian? You're going to hold that off for years and years and years. We never promised tomorrow, but you keep holding that off. Why? Why do you keep holding that off, friend? You got to get that right today. You got to do something about it. Become a Christian. And of course, if you're already a Christian, if you have a sin that you're trying to hide, get forgiveness for that sin. What's holding you back from that? Turn away from that. Turn away from your past. Don't let your past also now become your present. If you had sins in your past that were infecting you, don't let them affect you now in the present. Don't let those things happen. Read these stories. Read these events that happened as we've been talking about them. And try to apply that to your life this morning. We talk about that in the prayers all the time. Let us, Lord, help us to read these things and apply them to our life. Do that this morning. Apply effort into applying this into your life. These stories that you're reading about Jonah, about Adam and Eve, they tried to hide their sins. Don't try to do that yourself, friends. Don't try to do that yourself. It will not come as you intend. Now, verse 13, a few more things. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to land, but they could not, for the sea continued to grow more tempestuous against them. Therefore, they cried out to the Lord and said, we pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us with innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you. Here's the scene. There's storms all around. It's a miraculous storm. It came out of nowhere. The ship's being torn apart. Jonah here is confessing that it was him. They don't want to throw Jonah over the ship. And here they're trying to get back to land, but they can't. Verse 15, these last parts here. So they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord, verse 16, exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows. So Jonah knew his fate was sealed after what he did. He knew that he wasn't going to get away from God. And Christians, do we know better too? Yeah, we do. But sometimes we still choose to sin anyways. Now, we can get repentance for that, just like Jonah did in chapter 2. We can still get repentance for that. So understand that as well. But that's what we're talking about now. God knows and sees Jonah's wicked behavior, and he punished Jonah, of course, by this situation. But what we see in chapter 2, and I won't read through that whole thing. I'll let you do that on your own time, if you will. But Jonah chapter 2, what we talked about this morning in our class, we went over it, is that Jonah's saying this entire prayer, really to try to ask for forgiveness for what he did, really to try to go back to God. We see language like turning in the direction of the temple of God. Jonah is really submitting himself to God once again. He, as a prophet, knows what he did. And friends, we know what we do sometimes. And you know what? Maybe we're not a Christian yet. And we know that we should take on Christ. We know that we should follow Christ. But we choose not to anyways. And we're hiding from God still because of a sin, because of something we want to keep in our lives. Whatever it may be, there's all types, especially nowadays. Whatever it may be, we have all types of things, all types of temptations that may try to keep us away from God. Don't let that happen to you. Don't try to continue to hide your sins. Come to God. Let God help you. Let God take care of you spiritually, even physically, and blessing you in your life. Let Him take care of you. Let us make sure this morning that you get that right with your God. Now, as this happened to Jonah, as he's praying here in chapter 2, in verse 17 of the last verse of that chapter 1, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. And then you see in verse 10 of chapter 2, so the Lord spoke to the fish and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. If you read back in verse 9, but I will sacrifice to you, this is Jonah speaking, in the belly of this fish, with the voice of thanksgiving, I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Jonah's admitting here, he knows what he did wrong. Salvation is of only God. And he's submitting everything he has to God again. He's turning back to God. So as we talked about, he ran away from God. He hid from God. And now, he's running to God. Running to God. And he's exposing himself to God. The light finally came, or the darkness, that is, finally came to the light, that is. So, Jonah, a very, very neat story, a very personal story about this prophet. We won't go much more into it because we talked about it a lot. But friends, the invitation is yours this morning. I hope you will use it to your advantage. I hope you will let us help you this morning. Let us take care of you spiritually. Let us pray with you, Christians, if you have any need at all, physically, mentally, spiritually, whatever it may be. Prayers for a family member, prayers for a friend, prayers for yourself. Let us help you today. If you're not a Christian, let us help you with that as well. If you realize that without Jesus, you're lost in your sins, if you realize that, if you want to get that right with your God today, if you believe Jesus is the Son of God, if you're willing to confess that before men today, before everybody here today, if you're willing to repent of your former sins, turn to God, be baptized, we got water right here. I always say it. We got water right back here. It's probably warm. I don't know. It'd be good for you, though. We got water right back here. Be baptized, immersed into the water for the remission of your sins, and to be added to the kingdom of God eternally, forevermore. You will always be a child of God after this today if you choose to do that. Friends, Christians, if you have any need this morning, please do come as we stand and as we sing.